Thank you for the introduction, Chase. Like you said, my name is Drew Denton. I work for the Extension Cotton Specialist for Mississippi State University, Dr. Darren Dodds. And today I will be presenting on rescue treatments for Palmer amaranth control. Palmer amaranth is a highly competitive plant with impressive reproductive abilities. It has 2 times the photosynthesis rate of cotton. Being native to the Sonoran Desert, it's very adapted to the heat of the southern United States. A single plant can produce upwards of 500,000 to 1 million seeds, and a single glyphosate-resistant plant can pollinate another Palmer plant up 300 meters away. This image on the right is illustrating how quick this Palmer amaranth can grow. The stake on the left was placed July 6th around 3 p.m. at the highest point, and on the stake on the right being July 8th around 7 p.m., and you see within 2 days how quickly that plant can grow. Glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth was first identified and confirmed in Georgia in 2005. As of 2014, there have been 24 states with confirmed cases of glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth, with most of these listed being in the United States Cotton Belt. Palmer amaranth has a more efficient photosynthetic pathway than corn, cotton, or soybean during stressful conditions. Can grow up to 2 meters or taller, and in optimal conditions can grow several inches per day. It produces unbranched terminal seed heads that reach up to 0.5 meters in length, and a female plant can produce up to 460,000 seed each when in competition with dryland cotton, and over 1 million seed per plant produced during optimal growing conditions as well. New herbicide technologies are under development, such as XtendFlex and Enlist cropping systems, but timely herbicide applications are not always feasible due to unforeseen circumstances such as weather. For example, at the beginning of this experiment, late spring, early summer, my plot was laid out. We had long periods of rain, anywhere from 7 to 10 days, resulting in us having to disc under our plot and reset it back up and then conduct the experiment. Also, in the state of Mississippi, it's not uncommon for large producers growing many acres to be spread out across a large number of miles, making it difficult to get that equipment across every acre in a timely fashion. And on top of that, being in the Mississippi Delta where the wind blows quite often and pretty good, your window for application is very short, early in the morning, late at night. Therefore, data is needed regarding control of glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth that is larger than recommended at the time of herbicide application. The objective of this experiment was to determine the effects of multiple applications and herbicide combinations on the control of glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. This study was conducted in Dundee, Mississippi throughout the summer of 2014 in a grower field with natural infestation of glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. Through previous studies in this field, we estimate the population to be around 90% glyphosate resistant with an ALS cross resistance as well. We had 2 different application times for the Palmer amaranth in this field, one being 8 to 10 inch and the other being 16 to 20 inches. The plots were sprayed with a backpack with a CO2 powered backpack at 15 gallons per acre and 46 PSI. Using Turbo T inductive 110-015 VS spray tips at approximately 3 miles per hour walking speed. This table here with herbicide application rate, growth stage, and application timing listed at the top. To the left column, we're showing we have 4 different herbicide programs, one being Roundup Power Max plus Clarity, Liberty plus Clarity, Roundup Power Max plus Weed R64, and our 4th being Liberty plus Weed R64. And we put those out at 2 distinct growth stages at different times, one being 8 to 10 inch and one being 16 to 20 inch. The application rates, we sprayed Power Max at around 23 fluid ounces per acre and Clarity at 16 fluid ounces per acre, Liberty at 29 fluid ounces per acre, and Weedar 34 fluid ounces per acre. And I'm going to break the application timing down. It's going to try to, I'm going to explain it as a treatment base. We had pretty much 1 treatment being the initial application, it only receiving 1 application of the 4 herbicide programs for both growth stages. We had another treatment that received two applications of the four different herbicide programs for the two different growth stages, one being that initial and the second one being 2 weeks after that initial. Finally, we had a third application timing for both growth stages and all four herbicide programs being the initial, the second application coming 2 weeks after initial, and the third application at 4 weeks after that initial. The plot sizes were 9.5 feet wide by 30 feet long. All plots were replicated four times. Experimental design was a factorial arrangement of treatments in a randomized complete block design. And the data were analyzed using PROCMIX procedure in SAS version 9.4. These data were subjected to analysis of variance and mean separated using Fisher's protected LSD of P equals 0.05. Here in this graph, just showing you the initial heights that we started out with represented across the four herbicide programs on the horizontal axis and then the height in inches on the vertical axis for the initially applied at 8 to 10 inches. Here we move on to 16 to 20 inch initially applied, and this is the heights that we started with for the respective herbicide programs. This graph I want to take a moment to set up. We're looking at 2 weeks after final application when initial application was made at 8 to 10 inch. So the first column in one application, these data were taken 2 weeks after that initial application, the second one being 2 weeks after that second application, and then 2 weeks after that third application. We're looking at percent visual control on the vertical axis, and the herbicide programs were not significant in this when this data was taken, or for this data, so it was pulled together for these graphs. With one application, you're seeing around 65% visual control at 2 weeks after, it being significantly less than two and three applications, with the control ranging from 95 to 99%. Here, we're looking along the vertical axis at percent axis at the percent height reduction. And this is still 2 weeks after the final application, but we move into when the pigweed was initially applied at 16 to 20 inches. And there was a two-way interaction between the number of applications as well as the herbicide programs. When looking at one application, you see that treatments containing glufosinate were significantly less than those containing glyphosate. When we made two applications, there was no significance in herbicide, and we had height reduction from around 79 to 85%. Moving on to three applications, treatments containing glufosinate were significantly higher at reducing height than those containing glyphosate. And one more thing I would like to point out is that when making two applications, treatment containing glufosinate and 2,4-D were significantly the same as treatments containing glyphosate or glufosinate, plus dicamba and glufosinate and 2,4-D at making three applications. Now moving on to visual control for 16 to 20 inch timing, 2 weeks still after the final application. We have 65% control for one application being significantly less than two and three applications with visual control ranging from 90 to 95%. Here are two of the treatments. This picture on the left being glyphosate plus dicamba treatment one, picture on the right glyphosate plus 2,4-D. And I want to note that this was 2 weeks after the second application for when the initial application was on 16 to 20 inch Palmer amaranth. Here the picture on the left being glufosinate and dicamba versus picture on the right, glufosinate plus 2,4-D. And that is treatments three and four, and again 2 weeks after the second application. Moving on here, it's set up in a similar fashion as the previous graphs with the herbicides being pulled together, but now we're moving on to 4 weeks when applications were initially 8 to 10 inches, and we're looking at count reduction along the vertical axis. With count being reduced around 35% for one application, it's significantly less than two and three applications, with counts being reduced from 85 to 99%. Moving on to 16 to 20 inch initially treated Palmer amaranth, still looking at count reduction. We see 0% count reduction with one application and also is significantly less than applications 2 and 3 applications with count reduction ranging 70 to 95%. Here, we're looking at visual control for the 4 weeks after, and we have visual ratings ranging from 94 to about 99%. And in a perfect world with glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth, 100% is sufficient. That's what you want in a perfect world. But here in a rescue situation, that's not always feasible. It depends on the time of the year that you have this crisis, I guess you would say, with the emergency application. You're either trying to reduce as much competition to that crop and or make it feasible where you can harvest that crop by taking these pigweeds out, or at least reducing the height where you can get a lay-by rig in. Also, visual control 4 weeks after in the 16 to 20 initially treated Palmer amaranth. We see 70% control just one application alone, and that's significantly less than 2 and 3 as usual, and those ranging anywhere from 95 to 97% visual control. In conclusion, there's no significant difference with respect to application timing or herbicide. We're observed for percent height reduction at 8 to 10 inch timing. Single applications to 16 to 20 inch glyphosate resistant Palmer amaranth provided reduced visual control, and lower count reductions were observed following single applications to glyphosate resistant Palmer amaranth at 8 to 10 inch as well as 16 to 20 inch. Multiple applications of any of these herbicide combinations will be crucial when dealing with the rescue application scenario. In the future, we plan to continue to evaluate the glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth response to multiple applications and tank mix combinations in a rescue application scenario. At this time, I would like to thank the Mississippi Cotton Incorporated State Support Committee for funding this research. Also, I'd like to thank the farmer for providing us the land, Doug and Chris Hood, my major professor, Dr. Darren Dodds, fellow grad students, Chase Samples and Drake Copeland, and, of course, our student workers that help us throughout the summer. This time, I'll now take any questions.
Any questions for our speaker?
The question was, were the plots taken to harvest? No, sir, there was no crop in this. It was just weeds, and we did not do any biomass or collect final weight on those plots. Any more questions?
If not, let's thank our speaker.